Rumbling, tumbling, and rolling madly, the pieces of the shattered cliff cascaded into the city, crushing cars and smashing into the sides of small buildings. Gaza watched impatiently as the loose material shifted and slid about in the pale yellow rain. There was no way he could roll the behemoth through that mess without becoming completely quagmired, a sitting target for the traitor to shoot apart at her leisure. Fuck that nonsense. Again and again the cannon hummed, discharging new projectiles at beyond the speed of sound. Each time, the power gauges on the control board swung high toward the red line, but never reached the danger zone. After his initial zeal of discovery, it was soon apparent to the Baron that the Milwag wasn't in as good a shape as he had originally believed, but it was still better than that patchwork wag the traitor drove. Clearly, some minor adjustments would have to be made to his master plan, but nothing serious. And the beginning was exactly the same. Get out of the hole, then kill the traitor. Steadily, the ammo count dropped, as more and more of the cliff was blown loose, and the sharply sloped mound of rubble expanded into the ruins, becoming less angled, easier to climb, wider, flatter, stronger. Soon, freedom would be his. Very soon now. At the bottom of the cliff, the rain was splattering juicy and hard on the plastic ponchos of the men, their three bikes equally draped with as much plastic sheeting as they could carry as some extra protection against the deadly rain. Only three motorcycles had been recovered, the rest damaged from shrapnel. Three bikes meant just three riders. Only Ryan and JB were going, along with Roberto, the XO insisting a member of the convoy ride with the Outlanders, for obvious security reasons. The rest of the companions were in Warwag 1, helping with what they could. Despite his blunt demeanor, Ryan didn't think the big man liked the companions, and especially the way the traitor looked at Ryan when she thought nobody else would notice. The one-eyed man had wanted a ride from the traitor, but not that kind, and was no threat to the love-stricken man. But the big hard case didn't see the matter that way, finding it difficult to believe that everybody didn't want to be with the traitor. Well-equipped, Ryan and JB had their personal blasters back, plus a lot of secondary stuff from the traitor's considerable supplies, along with the only two functional law rockets. And that was it. They had to do the job with two, or else the mission was a bust, and Gaza would bring a new meaning of hurt to the helpless world above. Roberto checked the sawed-off double barrel at his side.
Let's go.
Twisting the hand grips and kicking the starters, the men got the Harley sputtering into life, and worked the fuel and clutch a while until the engines grew warm and finally smoothed out. Slipping into gear, the three drove carefully through the rocks and rubble until reaching the flat city streets. Now they fed the hungry machine's juice and leaned into the acceleration, dodging potholes, skeletons, and wags, often going onto the sidewalks to avoid the motionless traffic jam of the dead. Staying in a triangle formation to keep from splashing one another with their wakes, the three men urged the motorcycles on ever faster, staying low behind the cracked windshields. In their wake, stickies rushed to the empty windows, attracted by the noise, then hooted loudly as the acid rain washed over their naked forms. The flesh bubbled, falling away in gooey strings, with their thin blood pouring out until the beating internal organs simply fell into the dirty floors. High above the sagging metropolis, lightning flashed and the thunder rumbled, but the rain was coming with less force, the brunt of the terrible storm already over. Soon the peace of the desert would return, and what scant cover the hellish tempest offered the desperate people would be gone completely.
Move out!
Upon the traitor's order, Warwag 1 lurched into motion. Driving at top speed, the massive rig churned through the stormy desert, staying a good distance from the edge of the cliff, navigating purely by the firelit skyscrapers within the sunken city. Jake's hands moved briskly across the controls.
Missiles are primed and ready, Chief. Four in the pod, and that's everything. The rest were with Susie in the cargo van.
The L-gun is fully charged, but we only have one full shot. Maybe two short ones. So make it count, Chief.
That's the plan.
The traitor listened to the gentle rhythm of the softening rain. The woman had gone into battle with less and emerged alive. Hopefully, she can manage to pull that off one more time. Gnawing on a ration bar from an MRE pack, Kathleen jerked up her head to listen As a strident crashing shook the behemoth and banks of lights flickered in rippling rainbows.
Son of a bitch!
Gaza leaned into the monitor. That last shot had really done the trick. A good 100 yards of cliff had broken free to fall into the city, crushing several one-story buildings. Loose rubble spread across the widening gap of destruction, forming a gentle ramp to the rougher sections of the ragged cliff. By the nuke, this was going to work. Just then, a whole section of the board lit up and a soft beeping sounded a warning as the turret traversed a sharp arc. The cannon stopped humming as the side-mounted rapid fires cut loose. A split second later, the tank rocked as something slammed on the roof with triphammer force, silencing the twin 50-cal machine guns. Gaza started to rise from his chair, then stopped, unable to decide what to do or where to go.
Report!
Source unknown. Possible rock splintered from a recent collapse. Zero penetration to primary hull, but both anti-personnel machine guns have been disabled. The service droids have not responded and may also be damaged. Should I call for assistance?
Snapping fingers for his attention, Kathleen touched her throat and shook her head hard. Gaza nodded in understanding, feeling a touch of fear in his belly.
There is to be no communication to anyone except me. Total silence. Got that?
The damn thing was old, but smarter than most humans. He didn't want it trying to talk to anybody else, and perhaps learn the truth that the war had been over for 100 fragging years, and this was a private fight. There was a pause that grew to an uncomfortable length.
Acknowledged. Communications blackout is now in progress. Active relay via GEO-6 satellite has not been achieved. Only passive monitoring will continue.
Good. Now keep digging. But if anything appears on the cliff, even a lone person, use the main gun to kill on sight.
Unfortunately, without the 50 cal, the tank had only the main cannon, and that was needed for the cliff. Suddenly, the Baron wasn't so sure that it was a chunk of rock that had hit the tank. Might have been a grin. Could they be under attack? It seemed unlikely. Only a Pheeb would attack a pre-dark tank with anything short of an implogrin. No, it was a rock splinter, nothing more.
Confirm.
The main cannon hummed once more, another acre of rock blasting loose to tumble onto the growing mound.